Okay, we're gonna take and bring together the Wednesday, July 21st work session for the town of Lapine. We have a call to order, Don Griner, Mike Harper, Connie Breeze, Mike Shields, Daniel Richard. We've established a forum. Discuss the agreement of the Lapine Chamber of Commerce to provide tourism-related services. Do we have a staff report?
Yes, that's good. In the past, basically, you have your staff report in front of you. I'll just reiterate for the people out in the audience. State and local tax dollars, that tax we can take and use in the general fund, 70%. We put in our tourism fund. That money, then we then pass on to the chamber, who uses that money to promote events and run the, allocate those monies. It was 2012, and so it's been many years established. Transient dollars come with, even though we pass them on to other organizations, those strings don't go away. So if they misuse them, or if they don't use them appropriately, the city is still on the hook for that. So because we have an obligation with that. And so you have that contract in your agenda for the meeting also, so if you don't have any issues with it. One from 2012, it's a couple minor changes. Those minor changes are, we already set up a different fund that's been established for advertising for 4th of July with the actual listing of the four things, a different fund for that. And so, other than that, it's the same contract.
Okay, first of all, I'm wondering, how many hours are open to the public?
So advertised, open 10 to 2. If I'm there early, it's open. If I'm there late, it's open. If some
entire building is, I don't know the square footage of it, but I'm wondering approximately how much of that building is used by the visitor center itself.
Probably 75%.
Okay. Questions, and I have one other statement too. I noticed funds, if for some reason this doesn't work out, this fund could be used to build a visitor center and staff it to the city itself. And one of the no weekend opening, because that's when a lot of the visitors were actually giving is 72%.
Yeah, when you work out the 65,000 that was budgeted, it comes to 72%. Contract can be renewed, so it sets up so we don't have to have, we can renew it. And the amount, it says in there that the amount can change and vary depending on how our budget goes. Not obligated to that amount, but that's what was budgeted for this.
70%?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. 70% has to be spent for marketing, visitor center, and all that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the entire TRT funds.
He has a tourism budget, so in that budget is contracting is beautiful.
Back when I was on the council the first time, we had a contract similar to this before your time. Part of the agreement at that time was that we were to get a report of what happened, and the council didn't really press it to our some figures, but it wasn't a real report.
Well, I sent with the first Hassan was the city manager. And you guys got a quarterly report that included all the number of visitors and our profit and loss and all of that for several years until subsequent city manager, you remember who, didn't really, I think it was Rick Allen. So, but you did, I made reports for years.
I think Rick was the one that negotiated the contract I'm talking about when he was city manager. Big deal because it's water under the bridge. But
I'm happy to do reports.
Yep.
It's just that I was told it wasn't necessary after several years.
You
said you didn't get any. So I'm wondering where they went. They were sent individually, a packet to each council member.
It'll happen again and we'll work together and make sure. So you get a total amount of 30% of that money right off the top can go into general fund. Of that 70%, 65,000 goes to the
72%. 72%, 72, that's what I, yeah.
72%.
40% of the 100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's 72% of the.
That's what I was trying to clarify.
So there is money the city keeps for itself in the tourism dollar budget to do things. That's $5,000 more than the previous year, so.
Right.
I read in here that it says, you know, that it's 70%.
State law allows cities to use 30% of the funds. We believe that's like the visitor center.
I was kind of.
You can't use it for Jake's.
Own bus that gave tours or something, you know.
Other cities that probably have like.
We can use it for water tour in the street.
That's a little bit over. That's a little over.
Nice try, nice try.
To find city services.
I can get that definition for you, actually.
Yeah, the statutes are actually.
It's not all that detailed. In fact, I think there's more house bills actually with.
Recognition statements.
Mm-hmm.
What the chamber was on the city's logo in.
Yeah.
And that's a different amount of.
That's a different, yeah. So I'm not aware that the city logo needed to be on any.
According to this, it says the chamber and all of the.
And that.
Basically, all of your marketing is supposed to include the city logo.
If she uses RTRT, if she's part of that.
Does that go as far as to state the funds paid for the tourism center as a whole?
I think that's what the attorney was getting with the plaque.
Let's take the visitor guide that we produce as like somehow to make sure that these funds are not coming from the general fund. They're not something, some monies that you have raised. These are tax. All you are is receiving them. I found is people think that somehow this is city money. It's money you've collected. It's not money that.
Well, it is a tax dollar.
Well, it is, but it's not a city tax, is what I'm saying.
It is.
Collected in the city by the.
We do collect 7% ourselves locally, and so there's a state tax, so that tax is directly what comes back. This is state tax. Marijuana.
The state collects for us and then gives to us. It's really no deal. We are choosing to outsource it though, so technically it is city money that's going to the visitor.
By this new brochure, I think it's one of the nicest ones you've ever complimented. You can get it out like that. Really looks.
But the one that wasn't here.
None of them have been funded by TRT. Those have been self.
Well, it's $65,000. I guess I've never seen a budget for where this.
Every year I give you a profit loss and show you exactly what we've.
Can you share with us where that $65,000 approximately goes?
It's staffing. There's funds in there for dollars every year to the Dixieland. Once we give that money to our application for, say, pickleball, does not say specifically that they have to have City of Lapine on their advertising, but they
attribute to them all advertising, and actually it does say all advertising. Mm-hmm. Would have our logo on. I think whether or not we are paying advertising, the idea is that we're paying giving, and so therefore our logo should be on that advertising, is the way that I
read
it.
It's the intent, it actually is the intent. That's why I'm talking about how important these strings are, this money who receives the money, so whether we give it to the chamber, I mean, that string doesn't go away. That money does have to say that it's sponsored by the City of Lapine on it. That's something we gotta, you know, it's gotta be just rectified, and that's easy fix. And I intend, you know, I'm gonna sit down with Ann after. I mean, this was in the past, been kind of waxed in how we've given that money out.
Move on to the next item. Yeah. So our next item is an event plan.
We had an event permit. We never had all these things, traffic. Attendance, Saudi to kind of discuss is that could be any number. There is going to be the definite number. It doesn't mean just because you have 12 people, it's not an event. It is going to go by big trucks, you
so
know.
You're saying the effect of the event.
It's going to be the impact it has on the city. And so the number isn't arbitrary, but then again, don't let it be the be all, the end all. So, kind of idea. We need to have something in there that gives people an indication of what, as far as people attendance.
That's under the special event section.
The wake line there,
The point is one after another, it has little impact. People that all show up with double trailer, big rigs, all at the same moment in every street.
Both would be considered events, so.
Yes.
So, you know. You're expecting. Just want that to be clear too the other way, but then don't kind of try to, you know, say you're only going to have 50 if you know you're.
Six. bring up another subject. It says ineffective for a period not to exceed three consecutive.
Long event, that's fine, we're gonna be able to.
So here it says that you can't exceed three consecutive days.
Of an application for permit, and I think that one is given out right there. It says without manager's written prior approval, so if you fill out an event permit, you're gonna start at six, or, and I, in an event, I'm gonna sign it.
Is there a difference between, in the same section, 7.1, where it says hours of operation, duration of special event, is that different?
No problem with the woodcutter's breakfast that starts at 7.
No.
Well, and I'm thinking of the cycle organ that goes all through the night.
Right, and, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the big wheel.
So or the wall is gonna go 24 hours.
Right, exactly, so, like I said, don't take this for what it is, it's a good foul for a manager, there's a lot of out for events as long as they're approved, and the county has been, yeah, the county has been informed, they've been routed, you know.
H4, F, if food will be available at other than regularly licensed establishments, the name of the food vendor, and have food handlers permits, and that includes people like the.
Food trucks.
The fellow that had his barbecue thing set up.
Yep.
They're gonna have to show.
And that should be done for all events, and that's most common in all cities.
Correct, that's no way to challenge the food handlers events, that's, or a food handler's permit, that's the county health official.
They'll turn that in as part of their event, our permit, so our event permits have been kind of lax, like people have filled them out on the same day. It's gonna be something that people are actually gonna have to think about, and it's gonna be, again, an education process. We're not gonna go out and ding everybody, county makes you get them in 6 months in advance. So I don't think we have to be that.
So we're asking for 30 days, is that correct?
Yeah, we're gonna want a man to route through, if they have food trucks, it's gonna go through the health departments, which we all know half our, well, 90% of our roads are county. It's gonna go to the county, it's gonna go to the food handler, it's gonna go to public safety, it's gonna go to fire, it's gonna, you know, so there's some routing, and we.
Breakfast and that sort of thing, where you can have volunteer servers that don't have to have, you have to have one manager with a.
Right, somebody has to have a food handler permit.
Right.
Right, and so that would be in part of what you turn in here, and that would be what they would say to us when they got, when it's routed to them, they would give that comment back. Yeah. Dates, which we had never had before, breakfast will, I mean, do.
We haven't gotten.
Borrowed barricades, we have that, we need to. We're gonna have barricades, so like when we do parades and we have.
I know some people.
Yes, we know people. Yeah, if I could just throw out 150, sounds reasonable to me, but it's up to you. Well, again, it's gonna matter what they're doing, I mean.
Right.
You know, if they're all of a sudden gonna be marching down Huntington and they only have 15 people, they're gonna need an event permit, because they're blocking traffic. Right, most of our events are more than 15.
Right.
So, in thinking about that, I was trying to figure out, so have an event at, say, the Heritage.
Applicant's responsibility to acquire the event permittabilities, whether it was inside or outside.
That is an excellent.
Actually, the one that is collecting, listen, I think they were the person, they would be the entity.
Yeah, a lot of times, they don't know, they don't have control over the event.
Somebody, at some point or another, are you the person who is responsible for the event? Or are the people who just show up at your location responsible?
I'm gonna throw out, I'm gonna throw this answer out, that I don't think it matters as long as the application.
Well, if I may, again, we have the responsibility of the person renting the building to find out if they do indeed need an event permit or not.
Apple Oregon is applying for a permit, I understand. And the event is going to be held on your property. So, who's going to be responsible for everything like that? Is the owner of the property responsible for a certain amount? Or is it just Cycle Oregon, property is free and clear?
Well, I think it, I guess it depends on their contract, so if Cycle Oregon's providing the.
I didn't expect you to know enough to, or another, somebody has to be legally responsible, that's what I'm trying to make up, come up with. And it's either the property owner, or it's the people that are renting the property. If I rent a house, I can get renter's insurance, and that takes care of it.
Well, I know that if I rent the River House, and if I rent the banquet room in the River House, and I have an event there, I'm not the one who applies to the city for an event, the River House is the one who takes and does whatever they do. I only pay the River House, because I'm inside their property, covered under their umbrella insurance.
Well, I think you're talking about two different things. You're talking about.
If it was the River House or LPRD's building, I'm just using.
Well, it's inside the building, you know, and you're not impacting. I think we're, I mean, in my mind, it's, you're impacting the city streets where it's going to require.
Correct, that's different. That's not apples to apples. No, no. But I'm saying as far as acquiring an event permit.
So I think one where it says each person or organizer desiring to conduct this ordinance must apply for a permit to operate.
Organizers then defined on page two.
Yeah. It doesn't really matter, I think. Besides to fill it out, has enough information to fill out.
If it needed to be defined here somewhere.
Yeah.
That would mean LPRD would.
No, it means either one.
Either one.
It could be the event person or the first.
Either one.
Frontier Days.
Be in the best interest for those parties, whether they're contract to say that they're responsible for the permit.
$12.50 was, and that's a pretty hard gap.
What do you think, Connie? What's your opinion?
Well, I'm trying to think private events that would fall under that, that would be.
Like a birthday party.
Birthday parties are not an event. It's not open, and they don't have people. It's not open to the public, and again, it's all a matter of what they should.
Oh, don't start now.
There goes the.
She'll call me and have me put an event on.
I probably wouldn't know her if I saw her, so I'm safe. I think we would capture them as an event if they're making.
100 people, you would at least, there would be a nominal amount of, or parking required, traffic required. I think 100 is the same. Our next work session thing is number five, and this pertains to the Frontier Days use of land without a conditional use.
Well, we all know Frontier Days bought that piece of property event plan, and they did revise it in March. And that was before the, March 13th, starting completeness for her application. Not a big deal. It just means you need to get some things turned in and get the application. This is a wetland delineation, which is not a little thing. It's actually a big thing. My question for, because I know there'll be other events.
Acted with an engineer at a bend, PBS Engineering, that does wetlands delineation, and so we've started. The site Oregon, there's a very small, and actually the details of that, other than they've chosen October, of course, is next year, late. So presumably, if they do choose us, then.
My own feelings about this, my feeling on this is it needs to be broader. This shouldn't just target the, on any property that is either complying with what they need to do, or if they're having difficulties in achieving what they need to do. I feel that if they're measurable benchmark progress in getting what they're doing done in goodwill with the city, I don't see a problem with them, you know, with continuing to benefit, you know, the city.
Any progress, then.
I would just move forward with trying to get your cup, and now towards getting what they need. Or you see someone dormant and not getting what they need, and that's all I'm saying.
Multiple parties, though, is what I'm saying. Unless you have some kind of a, you know, no communication within 90 days or something.
Communication could go on forever.
Yeah.
You can have a complete app for.
Correct. Let's use the example. Let's say somebody needs to have a survey. The surveyor can't make it out there for a month, but they have contracted with the surveyor, but they have a event that happens between the time when they need it to happen and when the surveyor can get out there. If they've made the benchmark progress of paying the surveyor, scheduling the survey, and everything, maybe that's something that is quantifiable. If they have a delineation of the property, they take and pay for the delineation of the property, hydraulic engineering take and have somebody scheduled to come out there, but they can't make it until the spring. But so now there is a quantifiable, measurable attempt in good spirit to fulfill the needs of obtaining their conditional use permit. I feel that again is a thing. Either you see motion or you don't see motion.
Yeah, it's just still not really,
Sure, but how would you ever, how do you ever? So that's, I'm trying to illustrate methods of, you know, there's a certain amount of parental guidance that's gonna be needed in any situation like this.
To me, Mr. Mayor, if there's a contract and they know that this work is going to be done in the future and there's a legal and binding contract, that shows that there's evidence that they're supporting and they're going forward. If there's no contract, it's just, okay, I'll do it when I get to it. That's not a contract. And there's no way to kind of follow through to make sure what's gonna happen.
Right, I called the guy and he hasn't called me back, isn't good enough.
That's right, exactly. A contract covers it.
And that went on for 12, you know, 15 years. And they, in their mind, they were working towards it. I mean, I'm just trying to say that there's, you know, and they had met benchmark, you know, that they were supposed to meet, but it dragged on for one situation.
One apples-to-apples thing in that argument is you are 100% correct. But in the BioGreen situation, the land itself, which is the question here, not the organization, it's the land. And the land is no other anything. They were just in the process of getting this, and it did drag on forever. But it wasn't used for any other reason.
You for answers because I do not want to sign something that isn't correct, or I want.
Years from now, we could have another.
It's the same thing if somebody had property they wanted to use it for RV park, or if somebody had property they wanted to do something
and
else with it.
I can almost guarantee you that
using
would
it
say
in an unconditional
we would not
manner.
Lose it
right.
Without a CUP.
Right.
Which is half of. Yeah. It's a.
Maybe
because
not.
The answer would probably be no.
I think we all know that when you're dealing with the state, they have no issue at all with carrying something on for years if they're not eager
yeah,
to get
well,
to it. So, I mean, there has to be some flexibility, but we still need to know that it's being, there's a contract, and we know that at some time in the future, somebody's going to get to it to get make the difference. You have to have this done in 6 months. I think that's unreasonable, especially when you're dealing with the state.
It's the length of, it's the time of getting the application completed, which is all needs to get to us. And so, I guess, worst case scenario, and I'm not saying there, next
year. Event
right,
benefits
right.
The whole community. So.
All state agencies that are involved with whatever process you need to go through for your.
What I
understand. I mean, it's not a cut and dry thing because
and
every
and
situation.
And Ann needs to know. I mean, this is both for Ann and me. I mean, we.
I think that everybody on the council
breaks
on
right.
Your property or you in a position where you feel that forward is getting whatever is required, and I can see as long as there's a forward motion on it, and it's. There's evidentiary forward motion. I see no reason in the world why Melissa shouldn't be allowed to be for putting on the event. That's my personal opinion.
You might have gotten in.
The traffic study, which we do have, the gentleman that did it, Joe Bestman did it. We have been in communication with the state. They say you need to do a delineation. And so there is a process where you ask them to make a determination, and we tried going that route.
Originally, there was like four things that came back though, so
right.
Everything else. Well, limiting the events, sorry.
No,
experience here.
She also mentioned to me, Melody, from the state that she had been involved with Psychorg and was very much in favor of the group, so that might have something to do with it, but that seems to be the only one, right?
How that one and reevaluate if there's an issue, maybe, because.
That's true. Well, the wall will be all into the delineation by then, but yeah.
Well, they'll do it both. They have to do it two different times.
Right. They would be able to do
the
fall or August this year, and then the spring in the spring.
Yeah, so she should be on her way.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's under motion, and we have the written. Agreement that it's under motion. I don't see it. Nothing is happening, and there's no agreement or anything, and everybody's just sitting around. Progress shown progress. I can see no reason why we should.
I think we should limit it. I think we're just asking for issues until she has the wetlands delineation.
So recap what I'm hearing. If and when Frontier Days comes up again, and see where she is with her permit by then.
That concludes the year.
If this private property that I want, you know, we've got 200 people, so you need a condition to do an event.
Right, you need a condition.
Yeah, because that's our intention, is to hold events. If just much bigger than Cycle.
She's not coming every year, so, you know, again,
Yeah, intent is that you're gonna use the property.
It's an event.
I understand that, I'm just saying is.
It goes back to the intent of what you're doing. I mean, yeah, if you're holding an event every year on your property.
The trailer one?
Yeah. I don't know why I do it. You need to go with somebody actually know.
Jay-Z.
Hasn't the county been involved in something similar to that on Minister that?
We're gonna.
So do we have a consensus that that's what we're doing?
Limiting the amount of events on the property to Cycle Oregon.
At least very close to it.
Okay, do we have written evidence that this takes place, not that I don't.
You'll provide.
I will.
It's in the minutes.
Something from the state in writing that says that they're okay with this?
Well, the process is.
They're gonna stay out, so.
Okay, so if we're done with that, our next thing is the resolution of the City of Lapine establishing a deadline for the properties in Cagle and Glenwood Acres neighborhoods to participate in the city's program connecting properties to the city water and wastewater systems and how the city's cost. So I think we're establishing a deadline date.
Yes, we're just gonna discuss it, establish a deadline tentatively, it's August 31st. 30th, yes. Just paraphrase what's in front of your staff report. Obviously, water improvements part of it, specifically in those areas, and specifically knowing after we design, so we have to set a deadline at some point. We have to set a deadline. Our funders are requiring it, or didn't.
The attorney said we're perfectly fine doing it as you adopting it now, but it won't matter because those people don't get utility bills. So we're gonna do that, we're gonna put it in the paper, we're going to.
The additional cost in putting it on hangers, on doors.
Problem with that is some are renters and it goes to property owners, so you have to deal with property. Yeah, we're trying to cover all the bases as effectively.
Do you know how many open building permits we have?
We don't, we have.
Stuff like that, some shops, stuff like that, that wouldn't fall in. So I talked to one the other day, they're doing an addition and doing some rebuilding from a fire. You know, they had existing infrastructure in for accommodating water and sewer for them. So they, as part of the project, even though there's not a house there because it burned down, but we accommodated. We knew that there probably was gonna be a house.
That is the plan.
Time between, since you're terminating the project on August, the resolution and adopted.
We're notifying them before, so this whole month we're using, that's after tomorrow start, we're gonna start notifications. That's why you're not adopting it till the end.
You know, I've talked to people over and kind of let them know, like, this is what's happening. Your project, you can still do your project. Deschutes County Building Department's letting you do the septic fees, so letting you put in basic systems, because they know right now, wait 2 years. I wouldn't want to be told that. If I want to build, I'm gonna build. Do those kind of things still, and then hook up to our systems after them.
Yeah, and that's will be part of our notification, is that resolution.
Okay, good. So then if everyone's happy with this, then we'll adjourn the work session to take minutes, and then we'll take and start the council meeting. I'm gonna call to order the regular session of the Wednesday, July 24th, 2019 council meeting. We're gonna reestablish a quorum. Connie Breeze, Mike Shields, Don Griner, Mike Harper, Daniel Richard. We have a quorum. Can we all stand, please, and do the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So we've added an agenda item on number four. We'll discuss this later in our meeting. This will be the event ordinance 2019-05, but we'll get to that here after a while. So I guess the first thing that we're going to do is take public comments.
I'm sorry, Mayor. Can we vote on that? We have to vote when you add an agenda item. Sorry.
Let's vote to have a new agenda item. A roll call vote.
For a motion in a second and then just a vote.
Do we have can I get all those that are in favor of adding a agenda item? This will be the event ordinance 2019-05 to our agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, so we'll add that and we'll speak about it here later on in the meeting. Okay, so our next thing is we're going to have some public comment. If anyone would like to say anything at tonight's meeting, you're very welcome to. Please approach the bench and just let us have your name and your address, and please voice your concerns. Okay, so that's good, I guess. We're going to move right along into our consent agenda, which will include the council minutes for July 10th, 2019. Do we have any?
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve the consent agenda.
I second that motion.
All right, so we have a first and a second to approve the consent agenda of meeting minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, good. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to have a public hearing concerning a zone change. This will be file number 01ZC-19 and comprehensive plan map amendment number 01CA-19. This is a zone change to change the zone from industrial to traditional commercial on the zoning map. Do we have a staff report on that? Okay, let's open the hearing.
I do have a staff report. This is a quasi-judicial hearing because it's on an individual property. So I do have a script I have to read for that, the audience and the commission. Council. So the Planning Commission is a hearings body, the City Council is a hearings body, will hear the argument concerning the application of, and I'll read the applicant name just so we get specific, Richard and Sandra Prede. The address of the property is 16527 Reed Road. All testimony shall be directed to the hearings body. The applicable criteria are those found in, here. The comprehensive plan, the Lapine Development Code, the Oregon Revised Statutes, and the OARs. We'll go through that here in the staff report. All testimony, argument, evidence must be directed to the applicable criteria that's listed on the screen or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or zoning ordinance you believe to be applicable. At the conclusion of this hearing, the hearings body will deliberate towards a decision or continue the hearing or deliberations to a date and time certain. Failure on the part of any person to raise an issue with sufficient specificity to afford the City Council and parties to this proceeding an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes the appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals on the issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. The hearing will proceed as follows. I'll provide a brief staff report. The applicant will present its testimony and evidence. Any interested persons will present testimony or evidence. The applicant, as the party bearing the burden of proof, will then be afforded an opportunity to present rebuttal testimony. Opponent rebuttal testimony may be allowed at the City Council's discretion. If requested by the hearings body, staff will provide closing comments. Others must disclose any ex parte contacts, including site visits, prior hearing observations, biases, or conflicts of interest. Does any commitment counselor have anything to disclose? And if so, please state the nature and same of whether you can proceed. As a question to the counselors as to whether you have any ex parte contacts at this time, it sounds like there are none.
I don't.
Okay. Does any party wish to challenge any member of the hearings body based on ex parte contacts, biases, or conflicts? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and proceed to the staff report. Just to give a little context, I'll highlight the properties. It's a little hard to see with property, I should say, with the zones on there shown, but the property in question right now is this 5-acre parcel. This is Reed Road to the north, Highway 97 to the west. There is a pocket, one property deep, I believe, of commercial properties that align Highway 97. Right now they receive access, they don't have access to Highway 97. These properties out front access a drive through here that is actually owned by the applicants as well. So the request is to change both the comp plan map designation as well as the zoning to commercial, traditional commercial, from industrial. Right now it's in the industrial, which is this light gray area. Traditional commercial is shown in the pink here. So the request is to join this traditional commercial area. As I mentioned, it is 5 acres and it's a single parcel. A recap on the process, DLCD, the state was noticed 35 days in advance of the first evidentiary hearing, which was the hearing for Planning Commission, which occurred on June 19. Property owners were noticed. We expanded the boundary, actually, to 500 feet, and the public hearing today is at council. This is also noticed in the local newspaper for this council hearing. Applicable review criteria, these are all outlined in the staff report. I'm not going to go through one by one because you guys would probably be really done hearing me talk, it'll take hours, but I will highlight a few high notes. I mentioned those already. And then this focuses in on the comprehensive plan. What you'll see and what you've seen in the staff report is the statewide planning goals and the comprehensive plan chapters mirror each other, that is by design. So the staff report is a little duplicative just by nature, but the comp plan was established to and formatted to match the statewide planning goals, so we're addressing all of them. In particular, though, the ones that are particularly of interest for this application are Chapter 7, 8, and 9, which are public facilities and services, transportation, and economy. And I'll go through those in more detail. And sit here on the applicable review criteria and turn to the staff report. As I mentioned, I do want to highlight a few items, starting on page 5 of the staff report. Two-thirds of the way down are the approval criteria. The approval criteria for zoning map, development code, or comprehensive plan change have a handful of requirements they have to meet. And I'm just going to list those real quick. The proposal must be consistent with the comprehensive plan, the first one. B, the proposal must be found to be in the public interest with regard to community conditions or respond to changes in the community or correct a mistake or consistency in the subject plan or code. C, the amendment must conform to the transportation planning rule. And D, the applicant must, this is a little, again, duplicative, but the applicant must also provide evidence that the approval is consistent with statewide planning goals and the comprehensive plan, again. So I'll back up to the first one, A, consistent with the comprehensive plan. As I mentioned, that mirrors statewide planning goals. I'm going to go through those in the later section so I don't repeat them over and over again. Section B, relating to public interest, changes in the community, or correction of mistake. The applicant notes as their intent, I'm on the top of page 6, by the way. Applicant notes that it's their intent to develop the property as a hotel. Although the intended use of the subject property is not guaranteed through this proposed comp plan map amendment and zone change, staff agrees with the applicant's assertion that the proposed amendment and zone change could facilitate the development of a subject property for commercial use encouraged by the comprehensive plan. Section C. So in summary in that one, I'm summarizing that, but basically it is supporting, the staff's findings that it's supporting the comprehensive plan, which I'll go into more detail, but the comprehensive plan does indicate a desire to encourage zone changes for commercial uses and reevaluating the needs, and we'll get into those numbers in a minute. Looking at the statewide planning goals and comprehensive plan, let's jump to page 7, where we start talking about the different kinds of plan goals, which, as I said, mirror the statewide planning goals. Chapter 7, public facilities. City goal number 1, in the middle of page 7, plans providing for public services, public facilities and services should be coordinated with plans for designation of urban boundaries, land use designations, et cetera, et cetera. Finding on that water and sewer, there is water and sewer in the roadway in Reed. Staff is just noting that at time of development, applicant needs to submit water and sewer needs and capacity analyses, which is already required in the site plan process, but it's just, we're noting that as it's a requirement to address those issues. Next one is transportation issues. Reed Road right now serves the subject property for access and will continue to do so. That is not affected by the proposed zone change. There was a traffic memo submitted by the applicant outlining the possible impacts of the comp plan amendment and zone change. And I'll just highlight a few of the things that that transportation memo said. At the bottom of page 7, the analysis shows that the signalized intersection of US 97 and 1st Street Reed Road operates well today and provides nearly 50% reserve capacity. In 2024, the analysis shows the system is reaching the ODOT mobility standard, but it shows that the intersection will continue to operate within its carrying capacity. So it's still within capacity, even though it is expected to grow in usage. Site access is also shown to operate acceptably long-term with a single shared northbound lane and stop control. So based on the traffic analysis, staff finds that there's adequate transportation capacity to accommodate the proposed plan map amendment and zone change. However, at the time, Reed Road is not constructed to the standards of the TSP, which we know that's comes up typically on every site plan that's submitted. So full frontage improvements shall be required at the time of site plan application prior to development. Again, that is a requirement of site plan. I want to just highlight that again in addressing this. Additionally, the potential stacking, potential increase in traffic may result in increased stacking distance on Reed Road westbound. Go back to that slide. And this is a note from the city engineer as well, that there is a potential of increased traffic with the zone change to commercial. As noted, it's not detrimental to the system. However, as a result of stacking distance increase, it could possibly stack up back Reed Road when there's a red light, potentially blocking the access for these folks during those times. So it's staff recommendation that at time of site plan, there is a conversation with the applicant about how secondary access could be provided through an initial public access easement through their parcel to get out onto Reed Road a little bit further back from the intersection. So that is also included as a proposed condition of approval. It also gives some leniency to what that is and what it looks like, because we don't know what that's gonna be developed as. We're not reviewing a site plan. So the condition allows some conversation with the city engineer as to what their solution might be. Jumping down to chapter 9, economy, on page 8. Chapter 9 contains the city's economic opportunities analysis and buildable lands analysis, and this is in order to plan for and provide adequate opportunities for a variety of activities vital to the health, welfare, and prosperity of its citizens. The applicant notes in their burden of proof, and staff agrees, the comprehensive plan expects the rezoning of several certain economic land parcels will be necessary to provide enough land and sizes needed to create commercial centers, rather than continuation of additional shallow depth strip commercials. As noted, the subject property adjoins a commercial strip just to the west that runs along the east side of Highway 97, and rezoning the property will widen that strip, so it could function possibly more as a commercial center in support of the comprehensive plan. Further down in the staff report, in the middle of page 9, just want to note the comprehensive plan found that the Lapine is expected to maintain an excess of supply of economic lands during the planning period. And according to a table in that plan, it's on page 110 of the comp plan, the city has a need for 342 acres of employment land in the 20-year planning period and has a supply of 450 acres. So this change from industrial to commercial is not going to negatively impact the supply of land. One of the policies just to highlight in the comp plan in this chapter 9 is that there should be updates to inventories and analyses of needed industrial and commercial land types, indicating the comp plan support for this type of. And finally, I'll note the transportation planning rule compliance starting on page 10. This was addressed in the applicant's traffic memo. And the OAR 660 notes that where there's an amendment to a functional plan, an acknowledged comprehensive plan, or a land use regulation, including a zoning map, which we have, if it would significantly affect an existing or planned transportation facility, the local government must put in place certain measures. On further to define significantly affect a transportation facility. And those include location of an existing or planned transportation facility, which it does not do, change in the standards implementing the functional classification system, and then as measure at the end of the planning period identified in the adopted transportation plan, allow land uses or levels of development that would result in types or level of travel or access that are inconsistent with them. Doesn't impact that either. Or does it degrade the performance of the existing or planned transportation facility such that it wouldn't meet the performance standards identified and the traffic? So, as a result, and just to follow on, under a potential reasonable worst case scenario, it shows the existing traffic staff finds that the transportation planning rule compliance is. I just hit a couple of the high points of the each approval criteria. I know you've all reviewed the staff report and have it, but I do want to summarize the recommended conditions. Again, as I noted, most of these would be captured in the site plan review, but staff wanted to make it clear that it would need to be addressed. So at time of site plan or development, other development, which is included in the language in the ordinance that you're going to be considering, the applicant shall be responsible for full frontage improvements, and that's on Reed Road. Applicant shall submit water and sewer capacity and needs analysis for the proposed use and shall be responsible for any required improvements. And then finally, the applicant shall provide a public access easement or as otherwise approved by the city engineer for secondary access for the abutting properties. So again, that was to address the potential increase in stacking distance on Reed Road to have a conversation about. That's just a summary there, a picture in case you're curious of the access right now that is provided. This is how the parcels to the west receive access. As I mentioned, it is owned actually by the same property owners that are the applicants tonight. I have a recommended motion. When you're ready for it, obviously we've got some deliberation to get through before we get to that point, but I'm happy to answer questions now or later.
Do you have any?
This piece of property has been vacant for 40 years. That's noted in there.
Okay. So then we'll open the public testimony part.
We go to applicant at this point, applicant presentation.
Good evening. My name is Liz Fancher, and I'm a land use lawyer, and I've been working most of the time, occasionally in other jurisdictions throughout Central Oregon. I'm here today representing Sandy and Rich Priday, and as we indicated, they own the Best Western Hotel, and they own the subway that's next to it, and they own the little strip that provides also the tail that's currently there. And in general, they are interested in providing additional access, so basically the conditions of approval are acceptable to them that were recommended by Ms. Wisco. I believe Ms. Wisco's addressed the criteria fairly comprehensively, so pretty much if you have questions, I'd be happy to answer those. Or have my clients come up and answer any questions that you may have. In general, be available to expand the hotel use on it and also to develop as any sort of commercial use that might in that location. I mean, interested, not planning on building right away. So that'd be something they would hold for a bit and then develop later. Thank you so much.
Thank you so very much.
Okay, so our, I guess our next thing is we'll open the public testimony part of this hearing. If you have any public testimony, please step forward. Okay, so we have no public testimony. We'll have a public comment. Okay, we'll close the public testimony part and we'll just deliberate for a second.
Encourage commercial growth in that area.
Don?
No comments.
Mike Harper? Question on any timetable of holding?
Not with a zone change or comprehensive plan map amendment, if it was a site plan or say a conditional use permit or something like that, there is a duration of approval. But once the zone and comp plan map are changed, that's what stands.
Okay, for myself, I just would like to note that we did receive a letter of support from Kitty Shields, and it sounds like there's no problem. She's very supportive of the plan amendment and the zone change request, so I think that's a good thing, and I have no problem either. So, being an action item, we'll take a vote here. Perfect. We have a first and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay. Connie?
Connie Grace, aye.
Mike Shields?
Mike Shields, aye.
Don Greiner?
Don Greiner, aye.
Mike Harper?
Michael Harper, aye.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right, so the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to have a public hearing regarding the ordinance 2019-02, amending the ordinance numbers 2015-02, 2016-10, and 2017-09, which ordinances concern the recreational marijuana business and medical marijuana dispensaries. And we're going to open a public hearing about this right now. Do we have a staff report?
So this went through public hearing twice. When reviewing the charter, we realized that our charter is very clear that you have to have a majority of council, not a majority voted, but a majority of council has to vote to approve. Consequently, it's back on your agenda. I think you've had this on workshop and now two public hearings. This is basically changing the hours of operation to Sundays for dispensaries to sell. You have an attorney's opinion also attached to yourself. I think basic council agree, but when looking further in order to pass this, and you have to have a majority vote, actual conflict or just the potential, and the attorney said he does not have an actual, that's their and our attorney said, again, just to clarify, if the vote is not unanimous, then.
So, thank you so much. Do we have any public comments on this situation?
I think you have.
Councilman Harper, do you have any conflict in the situation?
No, I don't believe I do.
Thank you. All right, so then we're going to open this up for public comments. Are there any public comments? Okay. Thank you so much. We're going to close the public hearing and we're going to deliberate about this. Do you have any comments?
My position hasn't changed. I'm still adds to the cost of sheriff services and such.
Beat this ordinance to that.
I have no opinion. All right, so let's take a vote on this.
You do have a motion on page 3 again.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we pass ordinance 2016-10 and 2017, which ordinance concerns recreational marijuana.
All those in favor of amending the ordinance?
Aye.
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 No?
Nay.
Thank you. Okay, we have a 3-1 council opinion. We'll discuss this again in our next meeting. Okay, our next order of the evening is the Deschutes County Health Tobacco Licensure Discussion. Do we have anybody that would like to come up and speak?
Sure.
Community Health Center. I'm a registered nurse, their case manager, and health educator.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We are here to support, as a clinic, to support the Deschutes County efforts to tobacco exposure to our youth in our community. And that's on the surface. We partner together with with Deschutes County Health Department on several initiatives, health initiatives, both in our Lapine school-based health center, in the schools, supporting and facilitating the tobacco cessation program for children, for our teens. We also received a grant about 18 months ago from the OHSU, I never get that right, Knight Cancer Institute, of $25,000 to expand our clinic smoking tobacco cessation program for our patients and take that to the community. So we've hired a community health worker, and we have a two-prong program taking smoking cessation to businesses, and we've approached pretty much all of the businesses in all of our area, in our service areas, so that includes Sun River and Gilchrist, where we have a school-based health center there. And our purpose is to raise community awareness. The objective of the Knight Cancer Institute is to reduce cancer in risk in your community. So we chose this as a way to take advantage of those funds, and are helping businesses. We're supporting them in complying with the Oregon Clean Indoor Air Act, so that reducing secondhand smoke and cancer risk that way in the workplaces. We've partnered with many businesses, and then also have free smoking cessation classes that we hold regularly at the clinic, and then offer them in the businesses as well, if that's more. So our approach is, along with Deschutes County, is both prevented, and then helping folks quit smoking once they've started. And then, of course, as a clinic, we're dealing with the third level of care, which is treating patients that are suffering the consequences of smoking. We have a facilitator in the Lapine Community High School who works with teens who have been caught smoking at school, basically, and they have a diversion program. Rather than be expelled, they can go to smoking cessation classes. So one of our health educators facilitates that program, and other programs that Deschutes County has in the schools. So we are here to support. We see our efforts with Deschutes County as dovetailing, and in any way we can support their efforts to reduce exposure to our youth and exploitation of our youth in tobacco sales and marketing, then we are in support of that effort.
Tom Kuhn, I'm the Community Health Manager at Deschutes County Health Services. And of course, we presented to you in late June about our efforts to assess a countywide tobacco retail licensure. And part of our work is to go around to the cities and county to see if they would be supportive of a countywide effort. And we, at the conclusion of that meeting, we had requested from Lapine City Council a letter of support, and also what level of support you would be willing to support if the commissioners were to put together an ordinance which included all the cities. And so we just came back today, because I know this item was still up for discussion. The goal that we have is to stop youth initiation of tobacco products, and also e-cigarettes and vaping. We're seeing e-cigarettes and vaping go very high up now. The use of cigarettes is going down a little bit, but the research is showing when you use e-cigarettes or vape when you're young, you're more likely to start smoking cigarettes. So we're worried when those youth become older, they're gonna start smoking again, and then smoking rates are gonna go up again. And we wanna make it clear, this is not a tax, it's a fee just to cover the costs of being able to do the regulation, so that businesses aren't selling to minors. And we are not going to be making a lot of money from this fee. It'll just barely cover our costs. And we just see this as a really effective way to reduce youth smoking rates in the county. So
So can I do anything to say?
Other than I'm still in favor of it, I think that it's a great program. I probably would have not started as a teen had there been programs like that available. That to do was quit. I think most people that have smoked will say that. And being here, because I know I've heard from, I want to be part of helping.
In support of your educational program, teachers. You know, it adds more of a flavor of this. Well, my survey.
Finding that businesses are partnering with us to bring smoking programs to their employees. This has nothing to do with youth. The smoking cessation program is for 18 and above. So it's we're approaching a different population than this licensure addresses, but our efforts are combined in reducing cancer risk.
Well,
in our community.
I understand that. I just have another license to pay.
What is here in this sheet that we're given on the front. Currently, Oregon is one of only 9 states who do not require a license to sell tobacco. Counties in Oregon who currently have these ordinances in place, Multnomah and Klamath, and you'll notice Klamath is the only, push it from a state level. This valley tells us what to do all the time. Why can't they tell us what to do on this? Well, that's true.
Yeah. And we have asked that question ourselves, but it doesn't appear to be that there's going to be a statewide effort for a licensure anytime in the near future, from what we've been told.
Here locally, the funds that are, it's one piece. You know, we've learned the DARE program that was not successful, and it was just an education program. It really gets to the issue. So education, kids need to prevent them from using these products.
Such times as the state passes a law concerning the same thing, then we're put in a position where we might be, our ordinance might be in conflict with the state too. So that's another thing to take it. That's one thing. Top thing, and just like Mike said, it's one of the reasons. So that.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
But, you know.
I have a little bit different take. I think maybe it's a little bit the same, maybe it's a little bit different. At some point or another, we've illustrated is the 4 counties out of 36 are supportive of this licensure procedure. What tact does the other 89% of everybody use? I'm sure everyone as of 100% of the body is concerned about the well-being of their children and, you know, cancer and things like that. What other methods do the other 89% of our state use if only 11% are using the one that you're prescribing?
So a good majority, and I can't tell you, we do have some small counties that don't have, it is.
I'm totally supportive of the educational part of this, 1,000,000%, you know. I'm just not sure about placing the burden on the individual business, you know. I wish that there was a more economic way that we could take and still sustain enough funding to educate the youth, you know. So I'm kind of stuck in the middle. But we need something, I just don't know what we need. You know, I don't educate the youth and they have no need to change, no reason to know why they would want to change. So you need to educate the youth, that's the first thing. You know, by placing the burden on other people is again, that can be very hard on a small business. I think that there are reasonable fees that me as being a business owner would not mind paying the least. And in the same respect, there are, you know, business fees that I just think that would definitely be burdensome to my business, you know. $50 a month I could pay in a heartbeat, $500 a month I don't know if I could, you know what I mean? So there's different fees. So I just don't know. I'm kind of split on this. I think that I want to support educating the youth any way that I can, you know, but I just don't know if licensure is the right thing or not. Also, I'd ask you a question before. Would this require multiple licensing for businesses that don't deal with tobacco, because you're taking and licensing the dispensing method rather than the nicotine itself? Remember this question?
So right now,
as you mentioned, the tobacco Oregon statute does state the delivery method. There is flexibility within the plan to state nicotine-related products.
Right, that would be very good. I think that would be an excellent thing. That way we're not double, at least double burdening people that already are, you know, paying for this, you know, licensure. All right, thank you so very much for everything you've done, you know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So our next thing is we have a USDA Community Facilities grant for La Pine Station that we need to speak about.
So this would be a good segue into my staff comments, but as you know,
would you like to rearrange the?
No, I'm just going to start here. We did get the Phase One Transit Stick Grant for $744,835. So excited. With that, we also have applied for a USDA grant, dollars. It could be more than $50,000, I'm being told, so fingers crossed we might get more, but at the minimum, we would get $50,000. This motion just allows me to move forward with submitting the grant documents, this would allow me to sign in, and the resolution is a required part of the grant package. They used to require it after it was a way to require it before, and so this is just
RD 1942-8, a resolution of members or stockholders for submitting of a USDA grant.
Okay, so that's a great. Do you have any comments first, though, Connie?
No, other than I think it's great that we don't have to accept the money. Now we actually have to make a motion to accept that we want the grants.
Right. And we know you want it.
Yep.
Mike Harper.
Great job, Melissa.
Yep, I'm really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay, do we need to repeat our first motion, or do we just need a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a first and second. All those in favor of accepting the grant?
Submitting for the grant.
Of accepting the submission for the grant?
Fingers crossed.
Aye.
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 Those opposed? Nay. All right. So that's good. And now we have our agreement with the La Pine Chamber of Commerce to provide tourism related services. We've already discussed this for a little bit in the work session. Do you have any comments on that, Connie?
I'd just like to reiterate that we're sitting down with Ann and discussing how we can be
prominently listed.
It's prominently.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think I read it, it's regardless of whether our funding went to printing that brochure.
Let me clarify. So we give them $65,000 to operate the visitor center and promotional things. If she does not use any of that tax in her budget and her allocations that way.
I don't read it that way.
I don't either.
I read it that we're giving them the money towards tourism, and therefore they would be listing.
She has lots of money that come from Oregon State that she gets. A lot of money that she gets from us, whatever that money touches has to be
privately funded tourism materials that she prints through the sale of advertising that do not come out of any TRT.
She could easily just use all the money that she gets from us to pay staff.
Well,
I'm serious.
Exactly.
And to turn around and grant people that we've already granted money to.
This is the conversation, and this is why the contract. So it's going to be a greater conversation when money is budgeted. Right now, for what, 7 years, years, or whatever we have.
The way it does not work is that we provide funding to the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce says, yes, the city gave us this funding, but now we as the Chamber of Commerce are giving it to the Visitor Center. So then the Visitor Center gives it out to somebody else and then claims that the Visitor Center gave it to us. The way that the money touches has to take and reflect that it.
Councilwoman Breeze is talking about, and that's partly why we need this contract in place, because we need to see a budget and we need to see where those dollars are allocated.
staff, I really don't, you're the administrators of it, I'm just happen, but I would be concerned if we were paying $65,000 for a visitor center that's only open on weekends.
20 hours a week, only 20 hours a week.
Yeah, so I think she is using some promotional. I have concerns about some of the money she said she had given out. It doesn't meet the TRT standards, some of those local events. So that's why the bigger conversation with Ann and sitting down and.
Is the TRT dollars are being used to print materials that she's.
They're all concerns that are valid, and this is the first step. Educational year, like everything else. And what documents she provides in the 90 days. And then we'll, you know, at the end of the year, obviously during budget time, we will reevaluate and see where that money is.
And ideally, the funds could be just.
Are.
Upon receiving quarterly report.
Not expecting magic. Yeah, I'm not, this isn't a thumb on her, by no means. The chamber is a great asset to our community and the visitor center. Again, it's educational for the first.
My comment is when I read some of the preliminary information given on this, is that it says in there that TRT funds can be used for a building.
Yes.
So if you stop and think, we're going to have a building on the transit center. There isn't any reason in the world why we couldn't use that to have a transit center, a visitor center right there, get our own staff, hire our own staff, and have it just like they do, open with volunteers. And it's my opinion that if they don't step up and do as the city requests, we have that option. And it's something that's open, and instead of the town, if they like the transit center, they like a nice place to sit, put on the back burner and think about later on. But as for right now, I guess the ordinances are our contract is about the only way out for right now to have any control.
I advertise with the chamber, you know, and to be in that their main marketing, we support them very much. I mean,
we also purchase advertising as a city from them a lot.
Right, and we also purchase on top of the 65.
We're double paying.
And I think Ann does a wonderful job, and I just don't understand. You know, we'd said, you know, the money's going to grants that don't really show that we gave that month's contract in place and really see where it's being spent. And they do some wonderful stuff here in this community. Mm-hmm.
The transit center always has a concept.
That there are other media outlets. The state just says that we need to spend this for the well-being of attracting visitors to our community at December. We could utilize it ourselves in our own building, or we could provide it to a media outlet to professionally advertise our city through what means to attract business. So I would just like to see that the money is the best spent for the well-being of the community in whichever manner works the best.
Yeah, I will say the contract being open is a good thing year to year because without getting into too much detail, there is movement in the legislature, how these dollars are used. And basically to give cities more flexibility. And so I know that's being fought very hard with the tourism industry. And so having this contract be a year to year and having your.
So has everyone had a good thing? This is an action item, so we need to take a vote or get a motion on whether we're going to present the next one.
Meant to provide tourism-related services between the Lapine Chamber of Commerce and the city.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, motion passes. Thank you so much. So now as far as other matters, we need to take a vote or discuss on event ordinance number 2019-05. This is the limiting the amount of people or regulating the amount of people that we claim it requires to have an event, although it's the effect of the event, not the amount of people.
It's actually the whole event ordinance. It's brand new.
2019-05.
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, do you have any comment on it?
No, we discussed it at work
session. Yeah.
No.
Okay, so then we need somebody to
I make a motion that we approve ordinance number 2019-0 for certain special events held within the city's incorporated limits.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I think we need a second.
Aye.
It's getting late.
Aye, aye, aye. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion passed. So now we're going to open it up for public comments again one last time. No public comments, staff comments, Melissa?
Sure, I just real quickly, it is getting late. I do want to apologize for the agenda tonight. It was rather long and lengthy. And some of these ordinance I feel are important to get through the winter, get them put in place and then through the winter so we're up to speed by liberalizing them a lot. With that said, I'll try to do this in the future, but that's about it. And yay for the transit grant I already mentioned.
Oh, it's been busy. We started yesterday. Another employee will start next week.
Good. Tracy?
Nothing, thank you.
Okay, so I guess we'll take council comments. Mike Harper?
Oh, you started this in? Wow. This hasn't happened this year.
Said she doesn't like to be first all the time.
I can dig that. No, just, it was a great session. We covered a lot of stuff. So, again, but great job from Melissa on getting.
Bring your attention. I'm the one that normally goes over to bought two sets of double doors, and they cost us $8,000 to start. Why are you bringing that up? We budgeted for it. I don't care if we budgeted for it or not. It's a lot of money.
No, it isn't.
You should be aware of the fact that we also paid the city county insurance services for the $31,357.18. And I think that's a sizable amount of money. I mean, it would be nice if somebody sent me that much money. I'd really enjoy it. But that's two of the bills that are paid. Then there's a couple of things that I also thought, like, we owe or we paid Central Oregon Cities $800 for dues to belong to that organization. We paid the League of Oregon Cities dues $1,590.07. For the life of me, I couldn't understand why they added the 7 cents. I mean, that to me is the ultimate insult to us. It really
is. Fee.
And then we have the Local Government Personnel Institute dues of $615. Now that group helps us with our attorney fees. And those dues, we have dues for the dues for the Local Mayors Association, and pretty soon they're going to have dues. But these are just some of the expenses I get come into the hundreds, or not hundreds, several hundred thousand dollars. So just thought I'd bring it to your attention. Otherwise, thank you everybody for being here. Thank you for all the staff, because I come in every once in a while. I really feel that we have a great staff. I talk to everybody on staff, I think, and I feel my perspective, I've been treated with, nobody has not sat down with me and went over anything I asked. And it just makes me feel like you've got a great staff, and I want to thank you all for your
time. Was it the double doors?
I was going to say, can I explain about the doors? You know, I feel like, you know, since he tattled, I should explain them.
I bought a cheap set for my building, just the cheapest one I can get, and had $2,000 just in the doors, just to purchase them, not install.
Did we get a refund from the old doors?
So I took them all dead, and then they had to do it because it's warped. And they used our, but yeah, there was big gaps. I mean, like big gaps. Like when we found the snake, it was time for new doors. So the mice were okay, and then when we found the snake, it was.
No,
it was,
the mice were not okay.
Well, the mice were not okay. I was still holding out though until the snake, and then the snake, it was new doors. So
I killed the mouse, but I released the snake.
The doors never did fit, because I used to complain all the time about the weather stripping.
So,
not
you didn't like the snake as a method of controlling the mice?
Right. I know what I thought the snake, I think that's what the snake is doing in here. Is kind of.
You got a full belly of moss.
Yeah. So anyway, I appreciate it, actually. Yeah, no, I didn't know.
I pretty much have no comment.
I went to the COCO meeting and they gave me the city's organization booklet that I put out on your thing. It just basically says about all the house bills and everything that's going on. And the $835 is what printed these booklets.
That's a pretty expensive.
Sure.
And other than that, I think that's about it. Someone told me today they were glad that the hummingbirds had come back to the Lapine area. I told them those were Pandora moths. Other than that, life's good. So we're going to close the meeting. Thank you, everybody.